the Oakdale Christian Centre podcast. In this recording, Dave looks into the resurrection body. The main reading is John chapter 20.
We're just going to just drop on resurrection, just to, again, really, I suppose, look a little bit at the resurrection body, which is always interesting. We don't have much in the word about it, but what it is in there is remarkable of what we will become when we are raised again to everlasting life. But of course, the resurrection, as Mike said last week, and as we've been saying, resurrection is the key, isn't it? It's the validity, the veracity of who Jesus is. And also, as we see in a moment, that out of resurrection comes all that we need. The power. Ephesians 1 says, I pray that you'll know the hope you call in, the riches of your inheritance, marvellous. He's our Father, He owns everything. And the power that is at work that raised Christ from the dead is whose? Ours in Him. So the power that comes, the vitality, the vigour, from the resurrection, absolutely amazing. Let's just read that first verse. We'll just whet our appetite. We'll come back to it in a moment. Luke 24, 38 to 45. This is obviously Jesus post-resurrection.
And he said unto them, why are you troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. And when he was thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy, and wondered, he said unto them, have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of a broiled fish and a honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures.
Mm. Yeah, he opened their minds. Very interesting that as we just read John 20 and John 21, Jesus appears through a locked door, through something that we class as solid, not to the resurrection body, obviously. And just a little bit back in that chapter where he's talking to the two men, remember, and they said, come in. And when he comes in, that's a great picture of salvation. You've got to invite him in. When he's in, then they see him. And but the Bible says when they see him, he's gone. The Bible says he disappears. So we have this picture of obviously this resurrection body made for a different dimension, made for a different place. And we'll come back to that. That's interesting because also he says flesh and bone. Again, always look at the words, not flesh and blood. And that's an interesting thing about the resurrection body, that we may not sure what that means altogether. But that's. But of course, he could eat, didn't have to eat. But he said, give me a bit of what he was doing. He said, I want to prove to you. And obviously, we are resurrected to a physical body. There is some physical. He said, touch me. Feel me. And of course, as we said, he's the only one that will be scarred in eternity. So we have the resurrection. Jesus risen from the dead. And if you remember the four E's that Lee Strobel and some great guys over the years in evidence demands a verdict, Frank Morrison, great minds that have attacked the resurrection. Of course, we know if the resurrection, we read it last week, if the resurrection is not true, then Christianity is a waste of time. He says, in fact, Paul says, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die, he said, because that's it. Remember the four E's? He was executed, because years ago they said, some clever people said, he actually wasn't dead, he fainted, the swoon, they call it the swoon theory. Well, we know you get on the cross, it's the worst death. Prolonged death, and they were experts at killing. We know, and when you look at any doctor, any surgeon says, look, without a shadow of a doubt, he was dead. So they were the early accounts Remember, Lee Strobel says, well, surely this is a legend, because legends build up, don't they? You know, we have all have different legends, Arthurian legend and all those kind of legends, but we know, we have an early account. Paul said, that which I received, I pass on to you as first importance. Jesus died, according to the scriptures, he was buried according to the scriptures, and he was risen again. And that was early 50 ADs, which, and obviously that was sort of a creed that they'd written months after Jesus was, so it's no legend. Early accounts, eyewitness, we looked at the eyewitness the other Sunday, didn't we? Four Gospels and extra outside of the Gospels. But again, what we noticed, and we underlined, that Jesus appeared first to ladies, to women. Which, if you were to make a case, you wouldn't hamper a case by saying that, because in that culture, ladies weren't called up as witnesses. Their testimony meant nothing. But the Bible is very clear, and they go out of his way to reveal that and show that. And of course, ultimately, we have an empty tomb, which even his enemies knew there was an empty tomb. So they had to cover it over, didn't they? We'll give you some money. You cover it over, and we'll sort out Pilate for you. We'll gloss over it. But out of the resurrection comes all that we are. There's regeneration, freedom from the penalty of sin. Let's read that. 1 Peter 1:3-9.
Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold which perishes, even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory and honour when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls.
Blessed be the God and Father, Lord Jesus, who according to his great mercy causes us to be born again into a living hope. How? Through the resurrection. That resurrection is the key, isn't it? Death of Jesus alone would not have been enough. He'd have just been a martyr. He had to be risen again to conquer sin and Satan and death, and being able to impart that to us. And sometimes we forget that. Because we've been in, some has been church all our lives, and we forget the weight and the power and the wonder of the gospel and the wonder of our salvation. And that's why he said, look, you've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. He said, now you weren't sons of Adam, as Wayne said on there. Now we are sons of the living God. It is dramatic as that. And sometimes we don't see it. Sometimes we think, oh, but about this and about that. It's as powerful as that. It's regeneration. That's why he said you need to be born again. A life of God in us. And 2 Peter 1, he says, you are partakers, this is amazing, I always try to get my mind around, you are partakers of the divine nature. That is amazing. How are you born again? By the seed. It means the sperma of the living God, it says. Seed of God is within us and causes life in our hearts. And so through the resurrection, there is regeneration. And that gives us power. We'll come to the power over sin, but from the penalty of sin. What about these verses? Romans 4, verse 23-25.
Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed. If we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offences and was raised again for our justification.
Very important. Given for our offences, but raised for our justification. Now, there's a legal principle here, because justification is a legal edict. It's not just forgiveness. It's a legal edict that we have not a charge to our name. It's a clean slate. And that's amazing, isn't it? Because, you know, I can forgive you, or you can forgive me if I've done something, but in my heart, I know I've done something wrong, haven't I? There's always that thing, I've done it. But justification is a declaration of innocence, a declaration of righteousness. They used to say, just as if I'd never sinned. And it is like that. That's got to be done legally. Because the Bible says in the Old Testament, God hates those who acquit the guilty and condemn the innocent. So he's bound himself to that principle. So the Bible says he's the just and the justifier. Hallelujah. That's why he had to be a human. That's why he had to be born like us. But he was raised for our justification. Why? Because he had to defeat him who had the power of accusation over us. He had to for this purpose, Christ was revealed to destroy the work of the enemy. The enemy could come along and say, oh, look at him, look at him. Absolutely right. Nothing the enemy would say about our lives is wrong, is it? He's true. But because we are now justified, because Jesus rose from the dead, we are absolutely a pronouncement of righteousness, not just acquittal, not just forgiveness, but of innocence, of righteousness. Now, I don't know about you, but if you forget anything else tonight, that should thrill your heart. Because you know what you are. And if you don't know what you are, ask the Lord to reveal what you are. And then you'll realize how wonderful the gospel is, isn't it? And of course, the more we are again in church for such a long time, we think, well, I'm not too bad, actually. I haven't been a bad sinner. I've been a pretty good person, in fact. And we can get like that. And that's why Paul had that great tension. Paul, the writer of the New Testament, most of the New Testament, said, I'm the chiefest of sinners at the end of his life. Kept that tension, didn't he? I know who I am. I'm a servant of the living. I'm an apostle. Yet I'm the chiefest of sinners. Great tension, because what it does, it keeps us looking to the Lord, faith in him, resting in him, and all those other wonderful things. So there's regeneration, freedom from the penalty of sin. But more than that, resurrection causes what we call sanctification. The power over sin. Don't ever say, I could not help it. As a Christian, yes, you could help it. Now, you may have chose it, and you may have done. And the Bible says, do we fall? Do we trip up? Absolutely. But there's 1 John. We always remember 1 John. Mind that, again, gives us that tension, that balance. Those who sin have been born again. You say, oh, dear, wait a minute now. Don't it? But he says that. But the principle is the perpetuation of sin. The actual not caring, not bothering, carrying on sinning. And that there's a habitual sin where, wait a minute now, if Christ has saved us, now, is there issues in our life we've got to deal with? Ooh, yes, sometimes we've got to fight and battle with them. But there's something in us that, you know, certainly if you're saved, there's the Lord enlightens our conscience, the Holy Spirit corrects us, he prompts us, and sometimes, oh, when you've done something, or said something, or been something, you know it straight away. Lord, shouldn't have done that. Shouldn't have been like that. And that's the principle, isn't it? That sanctification gives us the ability to have power over sin. We see every time we're going to say something, we have a choice, don't we? Now, before we are saved, we may have had a choice, but we didn't care much, did we? Didn't really care a lot. As long as I was happy, as long as I got my way. Sometimes we cared a little bit, but not too much. Romans 6, 1-4.
What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We die to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life.
Yeah, so there's power. Resurrection life gives us the ability to say no to sin. No, in fact, it says you cannot carry your fleshly mind's got to go. You're living by the spiritual mind. Get thinking like that. Allow that to have its way. Of course, we've got to feed it. We've got to respond to it. Our character can only grow with cooperation. Now, God can give us a gift in a moment. He can give an opportunity in a moment. But character demands my cooperation with him. because it's volitional. That would be a good listener and learner, but if we don't, sometimes you'll put us in a certain place where we have to. If you know, that's sometimes that's how the Lord works. But listen to these verses. Free, of course, our inheritance, because he's born again, we are born again. Romans 5, same principle, working on the same principle that we were sinners, this is our sin, but this is our salvation. This is what happens. By this great sin, death reigned. How much more will receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness? Listen, now we will reign, rule in life through Jesus. That is amazing. Now, when things get on top of us, as they sometimes do, and worries and trouble, now that, let's again turn to God's word. Now, Lord, what have you purchased for me? You purchased salvation, but also sanctification, that all the world may come against thee. The Bible there says he will freely give us all things. Bless the Lord, get after him, I pray. And also that we will reign in life. Habakkuk, we talked about Habakkuk before, and Habakkuk is praying, Lord, come and have mercy upon us. And the Lord says, yeah, I'll sort it out, Habakkuk. I just send the Babylonians down to sort them out. What? He said, He said they are worse than I thought we were in sin. The Jews, he said, the Babylonians are the worst, terrible people. And he said, that's how I'm going to do it, he said. And Habakkuk said, oh, I don't know about that. But Lord, whatever you do, he said, if all my crops fail, if I got nothing in my barns, if everything fails, I will trust in you. You will be my hope. I will put my trust in you. Then he uses some interesting words. And then I will walk upon my high hills like a deer. You've seen those ibexes, haven't you? Clambering up those. And that's the idea. We have many high mountains that come across in our life, but in the Lord, we can walk upon them. Tough, difficult, yes, but the ability through Christ in him. The resurrection brings that. Resurrection brings sanctification. Bless the Lord. And of course, ultimately, as we'll look in a minute, it brings the freedom from the presence of sin. While we're on the planet, we have this old fleshly body, which continues to get older, of course, entropy, and continues to have those fleshly lusts that will be there until we have a new body, a spiritual body that has no lusts, has no fleshly lusts. And as the Bible says, we are free then from the presence of sin. Of course, we're already free from the penalty and the power of sin, but the presence of sin is still with us, isn't it? And even when we think we're doing well, I always chuckle at myself, because something will crop up and I do something silly. I know you can't believe it, but believe me, it's true. And I'm thinking, no, okay, Lord, I still need you. And what it is, it saves us. Pride says, oh, I'm pretty good, I'm all right. But that's why we need to continue to lean on him, Lord. Without you, I'm lost. Without you, I will go into sin. Without you, I will get distracted and diverted. But the power, and of course, ultimately, the glorification in and through him, through the resurrection, first fruits, and we then come through that. Romans 8, 9-11.
That ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If so be that the spirit of God dwell in you, now if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you.
Again, his spirit will quicken our mortal. Now that's looking forward. Now sometimes we have appropriated that as in health and wealth and all that. Now, can I say, we believe in the touch of God, we believe in healing, but ultimately, you know, we're going to die, aren't we, unless the Lord returns, because that's the law of entropy that was put into the planet by Adam and Eve's sin, and we see it before our eyes. And if you look in the mirror, you see it in the mirror every day, don't you? And as we get old, now you youngsters, of course. So ultimately, he's talking the Spirit of God will quicken, enliven, and change our mortal body so it'll put on immortality. And up until then, Romans 8 is still looking at the same thing. We are longing. And the whole of creation is longing for that. The creation is groaning, it's falling apart, as the Bible says it would. They talk about this and that, well, the Bible is already ahead of them. Earthquakes and famines and goodness knows what, as we approach the second coming. But let's read Romans 8.
18 to 20.
That's it, yeah, please.
I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed.
Yes.
The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. For the creation was subject to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been thrown in, as in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who are the first fruits of the Spirit, grown inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies.
There we are, the redemption of our bodies. And we say, why did the whole of creation fall? Because we're intertwined with creation. He says there that creation is waiting for the sons of God to be revealed, so it can be renewed. New heaven, new earth, new body. Bless the Lord. And we are groaning, longing for the redemption. And for that, isn't it? Because if you've got aches and pains, you're certainly longing for that. But even when we are longing to be more like him, longing to know him, and not to be, the Bible says to know him as he's fully known. That's our longing. And that's what resurrection's all about. It's just regeneration, sanctification, but ultimately our goal, our heaven. Heaven is our goal, and resurrection body that will live forever. That we will be like him. 1 John 3:1-3.
See what a great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, and we shall see him as he is. All who have in him purify themselves, just as he is pure.
So we have all the context of salvation there. Regeneration, sanctification. I'm going to make myself, be careful there. I'm going to purify myself by the work of the Lord, by his words. Why? Because I know where I'm going. When I see him, I will be like him. I will see him and know that. He said, you don't know what's ahead. It's a bit of a mystery, isn't it? In our mind, we just have a glimpse of what our eternity is, and a glimpse of what heaven is, a glimpse of what we will be. The Bible talks in Daniel and in Matthew about the glory of the Lord, again, in us and on us, and shining like stars, Matthew says. Find that verse now. Why? Because we will be like him. We will be like him. Hallelujah. Our work, no, his work, because of the resurrection and because of the Holy Spirit that worked in a resurrection. Well, Philippians 3:20-21.
But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Saviour from them, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enabled him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body.
So there's a transformation, not a metamorphosis, but a transformation, a change, restoration, I suppose, a change of function, change of future, change of figure, I suppose, into a new form, from low-lying, the Bible, he says, a vile there, doesn't he? Vile, low-lying humiliation, into that which we were created for, to be like him. In an image bearer, to know him, a transformation. How would he do it? By his power, by Holy Spirit power, that he has already gone ahead of us. Well, let's have a quick look at that body, the resurrection. Jesus talking, Luke 20, again, we read a bit this last week about how the Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection. And Jesus said, let me tell you what it is. But just a glimpse of what resurrection people will be like. Luke 20, 34, 38.
Jesus answered and said to them, The sons of this age marry and are given in marriage, that those who are counted worthy to attain that age and the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage, nor can they die any more, for they are equal to the angels and are sons of God, being sons of the resurrection. But even Moses showed in the burning bush passage that the dead are raised, when he called the Lord the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. For he is not a God of the dead, but of the living, for all live to him.
Eternity. They will not die. They will be like the angels. And won't be marrying. You say, careful now. Be married, but you will recognize them. There's no doubt about that. But also tells us also that resurrection is for every man, woman, everyone will be resurrected, either to eternal heaven or eternal hell. Mm-hmm. All will be resurrected. Very clear. And that's a physical resurrection. Sometimes people have, again, as Mike said last week, spiritual resurrection and all that. No, it's a physical resurrection. But what does that entail? No dying. But what about these verses from Revelation 21, 3 and 4.
And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away.
So there are a few no mores in heaven there. No more hunger, no more pain, no more crying, no more sorrow, no more death. Flick on to Revelation 22, no more night, no more curse. And that's amazing, because if you just remember, we just read Romans 8, it said, I don't consider my suffering, now again, let's be honest, on the scale of many of our brothers and sisters, we don't suffer, do we? We have difficulties and problems and all that, but we're not suffering. Some of our brothers and sisters are really suffering tonight. But he said, I don't consider that anything, for the glory that awaits me. The glorification of our lives, of our bodies, of heaven, all those lovely things that sin that brought will not be there. No disease, no decay, no death, no worry, no weariness, no weakness. Bless the Lord.
Hallelujah. No cough.
You'll have a new chest there, Ken. No more coughs there. Mate. Bless the Lord. They're amazing. Now, this is a long reading, but we've got to read it, get the context. It's a 1 Corinthians 15. We read half it last week. But we're going to read from verse 35 to the end. Now listen to this, because this will, again, this is the resurrection. He's explaining them why, what, just giving them a glimpse of where we're going and what it entails.
But someone will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Foolish one, what you sow is not made alive unless it dies. And what you sow, you do not sow that body that shall be, but mere grain, perhaps wheat or some other grain. But God gives it a body as he pleases, and to each seed its own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of animals, another of fish, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and terrestrial bodies. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differs from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown in a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. What if I?
And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul, and the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, and that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. And is the earthy, such as they also that are earthy, and as is the heavenly, such as they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must be put on immortality. And when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting?
Yeah.
O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labour is not in vain in the Lord.
Bless the Lord. Because of resurrection, he says, he sums it up, of course, stand firm, let nothing move you, always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord. Why? Because this isn't all it is it? He's saying resurrection, because we were born sons of Adam, we need to be born again, so we have the likeness of the man of heaven. He uses four couplets there to show the change, the dramatic transformation of our bodies and our lives to meet eternity and to be designed for eternity and for heaven. Again, different dimension. What does he say? We are sown perishable, that is corrupt, that's a worse state. That came from sin, didn't it? Sin caused corruption. And so now we have the laws in our science, second law, thermodynamics, of entropy. Everything is winding down. Everything is going to chaos, not to order, which is one of the proofs where we didn't get evolved, because everything is decaying, not increasing. Everything's getting worse. And as we said before, that's when we can look in the mirror and see that worked out quite clearly. Get some old passports. Have you ever looked at the, found your old passports? And found your first passport? I found my first passport, 1986. I thought, oh, who's that? He had hair and a few stone lighter. But perishable, but he's now raised imperishable. It cannot be corrupted. It's sown in dishonor. Now, I like this word because, again, this shows the wonder of resurrection, the need for salvation. It's sown in dishonor, ignominy, but it also means without rights of citizenship. Remember, outside of Christ, we are without God and without hope. And the Bible calls us objects of wrath and sons of the devil. Oh, that's pretty strong, isn't it? But that's what we are outside of Christ, without rights as citizens. But because we are with this honor, we will be raised in glory. Now, because we are saved, we have the rights. Why? Because we are his sons and his daughters. So we have rights. We are raised in glory. And that, again, is beyond our imagination. The glory of God in and through us. The Bible says we are sown in weakness, feebleness, frailty. Well, we know all about that, physically and spiritually. That Paul said, that which I wanted to do, I couldn't do. And that which I didn't want to do, I ended up doing, he said. That's our weakness. But we are raised in power. Same word, Holy Spirit power, dynamis, the dynamite power of God. That which raised Christ from the dead is ours tonight. And so whatever we need, it is already with us because we are his. Sown a natural body, but it's raised a spiritual body. What does that mean? Governed by the Spirit, not flesh anymore, no flesh at all, but also governed and designed and created for a different environment, a different, again, as we said, the word dimension, heaven. Now, how that works fully, when we see Jesus walking through solid, where he appears and disappears, and he's here and he's there, beyond our thinking, really. When we see him ascended to heaven, bless him, gravity didn't hold him, he's going, resurrection body. And so we get a glimpse of when we see Jesus in his resurrection body, what we are looking towards. What? How did it come? He died, he rose again. If he wasn't rose again, we got nothing. But because he rose again, as Watchman Nee said, this is the most important, this is the most crucial news in the universe, because we are on the way to heaven. We have power. The penalty of sin is gone. Power of sin, we have again. Oh, Lord, come on. You've given us the ability to overcome those character flaws, those sins, those habits, all those kind of things that we deal with day by day, one at a time. If he showed them us all at one time, I'm sure we'd be overwhelmed. But we have power. But ultimately, our goal, our hope, our security is heaven. Heaven, heaven with a glorified body, resurrection body that is designed for eternity with no mores, as we just read. No more are the things that really... and he said, well, that's what we look forward, isn't it? Sometimes we are living now in for the Lord. But sometimes, well, it's amazing as people get older, they want to go, don't they? The frailty and their weakness overrides them. And talk to Jackie's mum sometimes, oh, I've had enough now. I do say, I can arrange it if you want. No. But and that brings us to that point where we are ready, isn't we? We are looking, we are anticipating, but it's a point. But oh, bless the Lord. Resurrection brings all those things, and our hope is eternal. Bless him. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode. To find out more about our church, including our service times, visit www.oakdalechristiancentre.org.